listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon
on KSL News Radio,
102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 7:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
The man police say is behind six intentional hit and runs on women is going to court today.
He faces multiple counts of attempted murder. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston joins us live with a preview of today's hearing. Peter?
Amanda, 26-year-old suspect on FAM will be coming here to the 3rd District Courthouse in Salt Lake City to face charges that six different times between August and March, he targeted women that he saw crossing the street. Salt Lake City District Attorney Sim Gill tells David Dejanovic that police pieced it together using camera footage and witness testimony.
And we started to piece it together because the information that was coming together identified the same vehicle.
To clarify something I said earlier, there were five incidents, but six women. And Gill also says there's evidence FAM went around the block multiple times to identify the people that police accuse him of hitting. KSL.com reports FAM was homeless at the time and living out of his car. And now FAM will go to court for a total of 13 charges that range from attempted murder to failure to stop at the scene of an injury. Reporting live from the 3rd District Courthouse in Salt Lake City, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Two of the teens accused of shooting and killing a Taylorsville man are now being charged as adults. KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with the details. Adam?
Tim, prosecutors have filed several felony charges against two 17-year-olds in connection with the shooting death of Alex Franco. There's also a third teen that's been arrested in connection to this case, but they have not been charged as an adult, at least as of the time of this report. Charging documents say Franco was meeting up with the teens to buy a gun, but that the teens decided to rob him. Witnesses told investigators that it looked like they were arguing before a loud noise. It sounded like a gunshot went off, and the vehicle with everyone in it sped away. Documents say one of the teens later turned himself in and led police to Franco's body in remote Utah County. The charges against the two teens include murder and aggravated robbery. Live in Salt Lake County, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Franco's grandmother, Shelley Kilpatrick, tells KSL TV she feels it's right two of the teens are being charged as adults.
It saddens me because he's still a kid. Guns in kids' hands ain't no good.
Despite the death, Kilpatrick says she doesn't want to carry on any hate and hopes the accused teens get the help they need.
This week we've been talking Utah's housing prices, which are among the highest in the country. So it might come as a surprise that one survey says Utah is actually among the most affordable states to live.
Certified financial planner Shane Stewart says the report from USA Today gives Utahns a median income of nearly $90,000 a year as opposed to the average income.
Most people in the real world will think, whoa, am I even in the hunt here? Whereas if you use the average salary of about close to $50,000 here in Utah, you get a little better perspective on what that looks like and probably a more fair number to use.
The report rates Utahns as spending the nation's lowest percentage of income for health care and number four in terms of homeowner costs as a percentage of income. Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national story is now investigators trying to figure out why a cargo ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge yesterday. We'll consider everything. ABC News reports one item on the investigators' radar is the use of what they call dirty fuel that may have shut down the ship's generators.
They also have to recover the evidence from this crash and the debris from this crash in order to recreate the scene and recreate what happened.
Former Coast Guard Lieutenant Don Mihalik says all the videos of the ship with the lights going on and off will be helpful in the investigation.
ABC's Derek Dennis joined us earlier this morning and is also on the scene of that bridge collapse. He tells us the ship did have the equivalent of a black box.
We learned late yesterday from the NTSB that the ship has data recorders on board. And those recorders, once they're recovered, will be very telling in the investigation. A big question that's lingering out there, if the ship lost propulsion power, which it did, why didn't it drop anchor to stop it so that it didn't collide into the bridge? And if it did drop anchor, why didn't it work? That's a question that was posed to the NTSB. They hope to get on board the ship today to start that part of the investigation, recover those data box recorders, and provide some more answers.
The ship is still sitting under a collapsed section of the bridge, and there's no timeline on when it might be moved, but we will go more in depth on this coming up in about 10 minutes.
First look traffic now, and here's Heather Kelly.
We've got some pretty big slowdowns now on the 201 freeway. This is eastbound coming out of Magna all the way over to the west side belt. Part of this is a lot of cars merging onto the 201 and the sun glaring into people's windows. windshields at this point. But you also have some slowdowns on Mountain View Corridor and Bangor Highway northbound between 5400 and 3500 South. Heather Kelly in the KSL Traffic Center.
It's an election year and scammers are all too aware. KSL News Radio's Michael Commit has more about how you can detect them. Michael?
Tim, it's a year full of texts, emails, and phone calls, so it's easy for scammers to slip in and pretend to be an official campaign trying to get your attention. Melanie Fox with the Better Business Bureau says any official contact should only ask for basic information.
If they're asking you personally identifiable information such as your date of birth, your social security number, your banking information, any of that should draw up a red flag and you should cease contact immediately.
Now Fox says be careful what personal details you share on social media, and unless you want malware downloaded to your device, do not click on any links. Reporting live, Michael Commit, KSL News Radio.
A construction worker in Cedar Hills is alive thanks to the quick action of his co-workers. Rick Jones tells KSL TV a trench collapsed with only his head above the dirt.
The two other guys immediately responded by grabbing on shovels and jumping in the hole and uncovering his head down to his shoulders to give him as much air as possible.
The man did suffer serious injuries and he is in the hospital.
Two men are facing charges after police say they destroyed a radar speed sign in southern Utah.
Hurricane police say they have video footage of the two men beating a brand new radar speed sign and the trailer attached to it with a baseball bat. The men told police they were at a party when they got angry and left and decided to let off some steam by destroying the speed sign. The equipment belongs to Hurricane PD and is worth more than $12,000. Both men are facing felony criminal mischief charges. Alexandria Bonilla, KSL News Radio.